Hello, this is Susan Smith Nash, and you're listening to The Fringe Journal. Here's something I call The Toe of Kilimanjaro, part of a series of adventure tales. Anyway, hope you enjoy it. It started at home when I still lived in upstate New York, when a heavy door slammed into my right big toe, practically ripping the toenail out of the toe bed. It was painful, to say the least. After the throbbing subsided, I delicately peeled off the shoe and sock, fearing the carnage that might await me. The frisson of horror upon seeing an angry red-blue toe was quickly replaced by a surge of relief. Ah, the toenail was still attached. Later, I learned I should have lanced the toe with a sharp hot needle to let the pounding blood spurt toward the ceiling rather than clotting beneath my already loose toenail, which ultimately resulted in a toenail that floated on clotted blood like a blanket on a waterbed. 2 weeks passed. The big lie I was reassuring myself with was that was wearing thin. My toe was not healing. If anything, it was getting scary. The toenail was a shade of grayish-purple they used to call puce. In the light, whatever it was that lurked beneath the toe glowed blue-green. Well, at least there was no pain. Lying in bed at night, listening to the wind howling, literary classics created unwelcome intrusive thoughts. Wuthering Heights? No. The snows of Kilimanjaro? Yes. Instead of a gangrenous leg, I had a toe. Instead of vultures circling overhead, an overly attentive African hyena-looking dog followed me on my evening walk, or limp. He was an odd thing, chopped-off-looking 4-inch tail, German shepherd-like coarse brindled fur, somewhere between gray, black, and white. Maybe an Australian shepherd, don't know. He was lean, with dodgy reflexes that suggested the poor little guy had been beaten as a pup. The dog really did have a hyena look about him. I saw packs of hyenas, along with troops of baboons, when I was in Kenya 4 or 5 years ago. Where was Sammy when I needed him? He would defend me from the hyena dog. Who was I trying to fool? Sammy would have been ineffectual in this case. The hyena, crazed by the smell of fresh carrion, would come after me. After all, hyenas thrive on rotted flesh. They seek out carrion. So, why was this dog seeking me out? I walked behind the Days Inn, down behind Panhandle Auto Trade Inn, along the shopping center that sported a United Foods, a Costco rental center, a Hastings Video and Games, a Beals Fashion, and a rather shockingly large Bath and Body boutique. As you can tell, I was no longer in upstate New York. I was in the Panhandle of Texas. At Beals, I purchased 5 pairs of panties for $20, a pair of plastic sandals for half price, $10. The black plastic sandals sported black bangles and paillettes. I placed my wallet inside the plastic wool so they gave me and proceeded on my walk. The things I carried suggested I still held out hope for another day. After all, who buys 5 pairs of panties if they believe the end is near? Unless, of course, they're thinking of their mother's cautionary entreaty. If you have an accident, you don't want them to find you with dirty underwear, do you? Well, like, who would care? But oh well. Somehow I think, you know, oh well, they would be dirty anyway, but oh well. With my purchases in hand, I continued on my walk. I spotted a tree-shaded space between the Dumas Demons football field, metal bleachers, and the North-South Railroad tracks that ran parallel to Highway 287. The park turned out not to be a park at all, but a cemetery, one filled, oddly enough, with headstones bearing the names of my ancestors. Not Smith, that would not have been particularly remarkable, but Potter and McLean. As far as I knew, I did not have any family within 200 miles of Dumas, Texas. But hey, you never know. Plastic and silk flowers were still unfaded from Memorial Day. I read the headstones. Jimmy, killed at age 23 in Vietnam. The year was 1969. Someone still remembered, still cared. A small American flag and a clutch of plastic red poppies fluttered in the breeze. What was his last name? Cross? I thought of Jimmy Cross from Tim O'Brien's The Things They Carried. What was this specialist for carrying? Tears. The hyena dog stopped and bounded up to me. I walked toward him, and he loped off with his tangentially impinging on reality asymmetric gait. The cemetery was well maintained. The sidewalks were clear. The grass cut short. Everything was calm except for the gushing of water from a broken water spigot next to a family plot. It was kind of an impromptu fountain, I suppose. I noticed concavity over where the casket would be and felt a slight lightheadedness. My foot ached. Phlebitis, incipient cellulitis, necrosis, general rot. It was long past dusk. Stars were sparkling in the clear panhandle sky as I headed back to the motel. I stopped for a moment to examine my toe. It was even more purple-green, gray-green than ever. Not good. I contemplated my misspent youth, my ill-fated attempts at parenting. I had frittered away entire decades. Now all that came to mind was a blur of travel, shopping, redundant technology purchases. And then there was all that time I had spent writing and rewriting poems. "Do you know whose dog this is? I'm afraid he'll get hit by a car," I asked the guy standing on the corner. "I've no idea." The youth was wearing jeans, cowboy boots, and a cowboy hat. He was talking on a cell phone. The hyena dog followed me to Days Inn. He saw me put my key card into the slot, shot me a rather mournful look. I passed through the portal, the metal and glass door clicking as it locked behind me. I missed that dog already. That night, I was awakened by the sound of coyotes yapping. I reached down to feel my throbbing toe. It was burning hot. Was I afraid of death? Hemingway found the moment that one gets so close to one's death that one can feel its hot breath on your back. It's the moment you start to see. The truth, if there is any, is revealed to you. The unspeakable comes to you. It is Marabar Cave. It is that Marabar Cave moment. It's a revelation, a las cinco de la tarde. It's the horror, just before a Dia de los Muertos under the volcano moment seizes you, and you put your dead friend's favorite beer and cigarettes on their tombstones. I got up, made my way to the bathroom, gulped down cupfuls of water as I examined my toe again. Creeping necrosis. A turgid, variegated toe. A metaphor for something, possibly modernity. The idea that my toe represented human life was, like, just too facile. So soon they would have to tear my toenail off. Gangrene killed more men than bullets in the Civil War. Dreams killed more women than childbirth. Emma Bovary would have the last laugh. No smell, no pain. At least there is a possibility of maintaining one's sense of dignity, however illusory. Sir Laurence Olivier did it by becoming increasingly mannered and dandily groomed in his last films. I would do it by not letting the hyena dog in. I would take antibiotics and thereby cheat death, or at least the glaringly slow, gradual creeping necrosis of a gangrenous leg in the shadow of the snows of Kilimanjaro. But I'm not there, and that's not that. I'm the toe of Kilimanjaro. which is quite another thing altogether. I hope you've enjoyed this. This is Susan Smith Nash, and you've been listening to The Fringe Journal.